let's continue with an update on Whakaari White Island. RNZ reporter Andrew McRae is based in Whakatane at the moment and joins us now. Hi there, Andrew.
Good afternoon, Jesse.
Thanks for your time. You attended a media stand-up a short time ago. What's the latest?
Well, it was with the Chief Coroner and also the Acting Assistant Police Commissioner. The latest is that we do know that a drone was able to fly the island this morning around about 8:30, because that was holding up the last couple of days, getting accurate sort of gas and emissions data from the island. Now, that's being assessed by scientists who will then let the police know just when is a good time to go onto the island to recover the 8 missing people. The police are keen to get over there and do that job, but they're holding off until they know for a fact that it will be safe for them to go over there. We do know that the seismic activity is still fairly active, of course, on the island, and it became more active around about 4 o'clock this morning with more gas and jet streams, but the actual level of alert level of the island remains at number 3.
Yeah, I saw some reports today that there was a bit of a flurry of activity at the Whakatane airport today, which is suggesting that something might be imminent, but you're not hearing anything along those lines in terms of that recovery mission.
It's certainly been busy in the last couple of days at the airport, so I think they are preparing for the operation. So everything that needs to be brought in is there, Defence Force personnel, specialist police personnel, equipment, helicopters, that's all there. And I think they're basically just fine-tuning the operation. They've got a plan. They say they're reassessing that plan every couple of hours. So there's a chance that it may happen this afternoon. We just don't know at this stage.
Okay. What did the coroner have to say today?
Well, she talked about the fact that the 6 deceased that we know of so far have been taken to Auckland for post-mortem. She's overseeing the whole coroner side of the operation, but there are 3 other coroners working in Auckland, and they go through that painstaking process of authenticating the identification, and it's quite a detailed process. It comes in 3 stages, really, for any big event like this. They collect a lot of data from and information about people who they think might be deceased. That comes from family members. They talk about, the clothing they might have been wearing at the time, tattoos, birthmarks, that sort of thing. Stage 2 of the inquest, or the investigation, involves picking up anything from the scene. And then the third and final stage, the obviously very important stage, is the pathologists with the post-mortem. And it's only then when the coroner is absolutely satisfied, and this is based on international protocols, Interpol protocols, that sort of thing, that when they're 100% satisfied, it's a very rigorous process, they can then formally identify the person and start that process of returning the body to the family. And the coroner says, or the chief coroner says, they're very conscious of the need to return bodies to loved ones as soon as possible, and they're working as hard as they can, but the process is stringent. And as would be fairly obvious, you wouldn't want to make a mess of it, so it has to be done and followed to the letter of the law.
Indeed. The coroner also declared that the deaths were a mass fatality incident. What does that mean exactly, Andrew?
Well, that means this happens at any time when there's a big fatality like this. It would have happened when the bodies came back from Erebus, possibly also around the Christchurch shootings, earthquakes as well. It basically means that there's a protocol they follow. It's all written out, and they can bring in a number of agencies working under the control of the chief coroner. That involves, of course, pathologists and police, a whole range of people. And they can then, in a way, fine-tune the process, not so much speed it up, but get it moving as quickly as possible. So really, it's everyone basically is focusing on recovering the bodies, identifying the bodies, and returning them to their families.
What's happening with the weather in the next few days, and how might that affect things?
Well, today it's a stunning day, very, very hot and sunny. Out at the island, there's like 15 to 20 knots southeasterlies. Looking at the marine forecast for the next few days, winds are about the same level, but some forecast of rain and visibility less than it is today, which may or may not affect the process. You would think if they were going out there by boat, they would possibly look at going out in the late afternoon or early morning when it's calmer. We know the Navy vessel, Coastal Patrol vessel, HMNZS Wellington's out there. They're sort of protecting the no-fly zone and also the no-boat zone 5 kilometres around the island. And they'll be sort of a major part of the operation when they do recover the bodies. They may be taken from the island onto the naval vessel and taken straight to Auckland, or possibly then brought onto the mainland here at the airport. We just don't know those details.
Yeah. And in terms of what's next, any updates planned that you know are coming up, or are you just getting information as it's released spontaneously?
Actually, as it comes to hand, we don't know of any formal media conferences later today. We would expect that the police would possibly have one if the operation, the recovery operation, was underway. They may well, of course, wait until they have completed the operation and then tell us later. It's basically a waiting see, a lot of media here, of course, and everyone's just waiting, and it's a waiting game.
Thank you, Andrew. Really appreciate your time. Andrew McRae, RNZ reporter on the scene at Whakatane.